Welcome back, Red Spotters. Another show here on the Red Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Alexis Soto, and I'm joined this time by David Francisco. Today here on Red Spotlight, we're actually going to, you know, treat this episode as a continuum to a lot of the conversations we've been having in recent weeks. Here on Red Spotlight, the show that brings you all of the stories out of the world, you know, coming out of the world of movies and more. And of course, we also delve into television. And of course, any kind of, you know, side tangents or rants that we may have. And of course, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, you would know that that happens all of the time. So as far as today, what is a particular anchor that is going to steer our conversation somewhat? Well, the last two episodes, I believe I had been teasing a conversation with David in regards to a pretty seismic chapter closing the week of this particular recording. And I believe I want to make sure we note the date and time, the time of death. No, I'm kidding. Pokemon's not dead, but it never will be, honestly. No. But this particular era has closed, and that would be, you know, when people think of Pokemon, they think of a lot of things. You think of the trading card game. You think of the video games. You maybe even think of the merch. You might even think of the movies. But for many people, what comes to mind first is the anime itself, the show. Particularly for, well, not exclusively, but I want to say that everybody our age, David, has some memories. I mean, there's no way you could have not been exposed to it, and quite frankly, there's no way you can't be exposed to it today. I don't know how relevant or how the anime itself is as far as Western audiences are concerned to this day, as they were, you know, in its, you know, infancy, basically when it first came out. I know in Japan, the popularity never wavered. Based on all indications, considering that it ran for a quarter of a century. A quarter of a century. And it just kept going and going and going. So we're going to actually spend a pretty good bit of time here talking about, kind of, I don't want to call it a wake or like a memorial or something, but we're just going to be talking about, you know, it'll be a mixture of memories, and it'll also be just a mixture of observations as to overall how we've engaged with this particular series and what it's kind of meant to us. And I think the only place to really start is, while it has maintained its popularity to this very day among new generations in terms of the franchise overall, and how does, not necessarily, I don't believe, for at least not here in the West, not for its television show, but mostly because it's made a fortune with video games and trade and cards. That's kind of like the bread and butter. And personally, you could make the argument that the reason why the series went on as long as it did was because of how much money the other ancillary makes. I mean, honestly, the series, it can be argued, maybe was never as important as the other aspects of it, you know, as the games or the cards or video games. But at the same time, that isn't to downplay at all its popular, obviously. Otherwise, it wouldn't be, you know, as resonant as it seems to be, and how definitely people are treating the occasion of this finale. And before, I mean, personally, I never put much stock in the cards, the trading cards. And I don't believe I ever really got into the games until late. Like, I think my first game was, was it Diamond and Pearl? Yeah, I think my first game was Diamond and Pearl. It was Diamond and Pearl, and then they had it was Soul and Silver, or Soul Silver and Heart Gold. Is that what it was called?
I think so.
Because there were iterations where I think it was a special re-release where it was the Johto region, because the original Johto games were called Silver and Gold, I think. And then they had a, this all came out at the same time. So the games that I did play were, was Diamond and Pearl, Soul Silver and Heart Gold, and Black and White. Those were the, and it, again, that's practically late because those are all for Nintendo DS. And of course, mm-hmm. they had games for Game Boy Advance, and then also, I believe, Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an aspect of this series that I didn't appreciate until much later on. At, for a point of reference, at that point, the show was well over 10 seasons. So, I mean, that's a good, that's a decade. That's like a decade of the show being on and me following it without even like, I actually don't even remember the first time I realized there were games. I always thought it was just a show, you know, early on. And of course came the movies. And I don't know if you recall, a few years ago, we did a special episode here where we talked about the movies that shaped us. You know, the movies from our early childhood that had a significant impact on like who we are and, you know, what, you know, dictated the tastes of, you know, future films and shows. And one of the films that I had mentioned was the first movie, which was in 99. And interestingly enough, I don't think I had the opportunity, considering I was like not even five, obviously, to see it in a theater. But, and it's crazy because thinking about it this way, I must have been 5 or 6 years old. And I guess I really do have this memory then in 2000, because that's when the second film came out. And that I did experience in theaters, and that was kind of amazing. That actually happens to be my favorite of the movies, the second one. And I want to say that after movie five, I don't really remember most of them. I felt myself feeling as if the films were not engaging me as the first five movies did. And I may have caught glimpses here and there. I know for sure I did watch, I want to say all of the advanced generation movies, but I don't remember them. I want to say one dealt with Deoxys.
Yeah.
One had, what's that? What's that one? The green dragon one.
Oh, I can't remember the name, but it's probably the same movie though.
I think it's in the same movie. One had Jirachi. That was the Wishmaker one. I don't know. I know there was a, there was like two specials. One was in the second generation. One was in the third generation of the specials. I remember, even though it's a movie, I don't know why it was like treated as a special, but remember Mewtwo Returns? No, or is it Returns or Strikes Back? I don't remember what the title was, but it was, you know which one I'm talking about, right?
In the advance?
No, this is Johto region. Mewtwo comes back and Giovanni finds him on a spring reservoir and he's hiding in there.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember what that one's called.
It's called Mewtwo Returns, I think.
Maybe, because
I had the VHS tape. I had that VHS tape.
Because Mewtwo Strikes Back is the first one, I think.
They always call it like that. Yeah, there was a subtitle too. There was another title than just the first movie.
Yeah.
So it could be that too. And then in Generation 2, that was Advanced, there was another special, I want to say for some kind of 10th, maybe it was for the 10th anniversary. That involved Mew, I think. It was,
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. The other one
that
I
remember, Lucario. Was it a Lucario? Is that one of them?
You're still talking about Advanced, right? Sorry.
This is Advanced. Yes.
Okay. Then the one you're talking about is just Mew. I can't remember. It was something tree.
Keep in mind, people, we're trying to parcel through 25 years of content here.
Yeah.
Okay? So just keep in mind.
The only thing that like I always try to remember the most is the Pokemons, okay? Not trying to remember the title of the movies and all that. Yeah, that one...
Oh, by the way, there are 25 seasons, 23 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And two specials that probably should have been movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to keep up. Yeah.
No, it is. And I don't remember any of the ones that came out in... I don't think I even saw them, Diamond and Pearl. Or after, quite frankly.
Hmm.
So maybe I need to go back into them. So the movies, I never really regarded as much. Keeping in mind, of course, that most of these came out in the same space that Dragon Ball had movies, right? Dragon Ball had so many movies, but there's a big difference. For one, the Pokemon movies are like way better. Like unbelievably better. And I mean like for the first five, right? Those are the ones that the quality is such like drastic when you compare those movies and then of course the Dragon Ball anime movies. Also, at the same time you can make the case that at least at that point pre-internet, you're only just going off of what you see, right? You can make the argument that at that point in time that a lot of the stuff that happened in the Pokemon movies wasn't quote-unquote canon because none of those events would seemingly ever be brought up. Today, that's not really an issue because they're all canon. And even, I believe, there was a Johto region like arc that featured a Lugia, and then they referenced the events of the film. And then I don't know what's going into it, but I heard Latios and Latios are even involved somehow in the newer episodes.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know there were some episodes, but I don't know what happens.
Yeah, I don't know what happens either, but I know that they're there. But the point is, those films are canonical. So that's one thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dragon Ball movies, no, I feel like that's all multiverse stuff. If you want to look at it that way, that's the alternate timeline. But none of that's like cooler or those versions of Broly. Like, that never happened. And honestly, I didn't see most, if any, of them. It can also even be like, I don't know if you were aware of this, but like, how much do you care for the Garlic Jr.? Character or the arc, because in the original Dragon Ball, you know what, it just occurred to me, you might not even know what the hell I'm talking about. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. It was like you had this look on your face like, okay, in the original broadcast version of Z, which has some differences to Kai, which it seems like you saw Kai, you didn't see Z. And I think we've established previously that you saw Kai when Kai was new, and Kai was new like a good almost 10 years after Z was even here released in America. In the original broadcast of Z, there was an arc right after Namek when they came back after they defeated Frieza, but before the android situation happened. There was a whole arc in there based on this character called Garlic Jr. But most people today highly regard that to be non-canonical because in Kai, it was skipped over completely and not even mentioned. Furthermore, I do think that character also came from one of the movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was this guy, did he attack that temple area, the one that's like overlooking the earth?
You mean the lookout?
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole movie basically takes place there.
Okay.
He imprisons Kami, I want to say.
I think I know who you're talking about, but like, yeah, it was a very brief arc, so...
Oh, yeah. And again, brief for Dragon Ball standards.
You know? Oh, yeah.
So, to make that distinction. So, let me ask you then. How do you feel about the films? As far as like how I've talked about them and yeah.
I've rather enjoyed all like most of the films. I think besides one from Unova, all the ones after the Diamond and Pearl one, I kind of fell out of them. I still watch them, but like they're not really on my top of the list and all that.
They were not really a priority.
Yeah. But some of my favorite ones, though, for sure, I think my favorite one for sure is Temple of the Sea. That one's in advance.
Does that have Kyogre?
It has him in it. He's not like a big part of it, though. The main like legendary Pokemon is this blue looking one. I can't remember the name of it. This tiny blue Pokemon that like kind of thinks the Ash's companion Mei is its mom. And so,
oh, I think I remember that. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't remember watching that one all the way through, but I know which movie and I know which Mon you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that one is mostly my favorite because there was a moment, though, where they find the temple, it starts to flood, and Ash tells Mei and Pikachu and the other legendary to like go inside this capsule that will protect them from drowning. But he's the one that stayed outside because he has to return this crystal in order for it to stop flooding. And I don't know, just like that moment, though, that was where like I really saw Ash as like a hero. You know, he always like saving Pokemon. He always like stops bad guys and everything. But like that was the moment where I was like, oh, dang, you're like, you're really willing to sacrifice yourself to save everyone. I thought I just found it to be cool. And then you get like this cool payoff later on. Mm-hmm. That was like, it was just awesome. So, yeah, that one's for sure my favorite. Other ones.
Any least favorites?
Least favorite? Yeah, it's the ones, you know, after the Diamond and Pearl ones. Like, there's this one where there's this Pokemon who can actually, like, open up portals. But, like, I think they said they can open up portals from, like, the multiverse. And so it
even they did multiverse.
Yeah. So like it just kept bringing in more and more legendary Pokemon. I honestly can't even remember the movie much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And then did you ever watch the one Pokemon I Choose You, where it's basically like retelling the beginning of Ash's journey?
No, I am aware of it. And I was rather puzzled by its existence because I wasn't sure. When I first saw images from it, I was of the mind that, oh, they're just like, they're just doing this again, but with like a higher quality of animation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it ended up being that. I think they actually did. It was like, was it like an Elseworlds like version of it where it was like, what if things went a different way?
I don't think that was what they were going for.
What were they going for?
I honestly don't know. I think they just wanted to retell it for some reason. But they did add some things differently. Like they added new characters that weren't in the show or anything like that.
So could you like put that... Let me ask you this question because I never watched it only because it felt rather derivative. Like I've seen this already. Like I was there when the first episode. Like I've seen that so many times. Only because like that first season was big. Everybody was watching that and everybody remembers those episodes. But I'm asking you, if one wanted to had never, like, for example, Peter is one of these people who takes pride in the idea that he avoided anime altogether. That also includes Dragon Ball and that also includes Pokemon. Let me ask you this. For anybody who has somehow been a Peter and not, like, you know, been familiar with how any of this works, would that, the I Choose You one, the newer version, would that be a good place for people to start off with, or would you recommend them watch the actual first episode?
I think the actual first episode. For one thing, it's just the quality itself of animation. Best to kind of like see it from the beginning and how it's progressed and all that.
It would be really interesting if you start off with the newer one and then go back to 1997's animation. That's like, it'll be like a rather jarring experience for sure.
Sure.
Animation in how it's been done has changed throughout the eras. And that's also been a point of contention among many other things, right? And it's interesting to me, like, how little Peter seems to know, because I was kind of like a little bit puzzled at first, because if you notice in the chat today, earlier on, he mentioned, I guess he asked a question, so did he catch them all? And I'm like, no, that never was his thing. Yeah. That was the show's thing. That was the show's thing, that kind of like, it was a hook for the audience to get you to care about all of them. That's why Pokemon Go is even a thing. It's like, I mean, it's there's some kind of a obsessive aspect to the DNA of the franchise overall that gets you, I don't know, in the space. Catching them all was never the main character's thing. It was for you guys to feel and play the games. That way you can catch them all. That was the point of it. Interestingly enough, though, I know I mentioned this to you before we started recording. I just wanted to give you a background. But for the first time, I had started watching Journeys. That was one of the newer seasons and one of the last era, right? That just started a few years back. And interestingly, the other main character, Go, happens to be a character. Now, I'm very early on. I want to remind you, I've only seen like the first 13 episodes of Journeys that season. I think the first of three seasons, I want to say. And his thing was, you know what? I'm going to catch every Pokemon. Which that in and of itself was interesting to see, because if you're trying to remember, of course, what he does is he just gets a bunch of Pokeballs and he literally wants one of every of them. Even if you have like, let's say, like for example, he had a Caterpie, he still captured a Metapod. And I think most people would be like, well, what's the point? You just evolve it and you're going to get it. He's like, no, he wants to have one of each and the whole evolutionary line. I don't know how that changes as the seasons go on, but when it starts off, that's how it begins. So in the part that I'm watching is he has his score bunny, which I actually happen to like. I was like, oh, this is a really interesting, you know, design and Pokemon. But curiously enough, they introduced a character really late into the series that, at least at the very beginning, his goal was to catch them all. So I thought that was interesting. And a nice way to balance off, of course, Ash, who has different priorities. So there's so much we can go, but basically, because it's been in the news that it's going to be ending, and I saw it on Netflix. I forgot that it was even there. I was like scrolling through. It's like, oh, it's there. So I actually started off watching. I want to remind people. I watched from the very beginning all the way up until, I want to say, the very beginning of the 14th broadcast season, which was the beginning of Black and White. And then after that, I didn't watch it. I didn't come back until basically just, you know, last week, where I turned on the first episode of Journeys. And for one, one of the things that, well, quite frankly, there were several things that put me off in the subsequent years that I didn't watch. But I know one of the points of contention, and I kind of alluded to it a few minutes ago, which is the character designs and a little bit of the switch up in animation. I want to say they had a big jump from when you go from the Kalos region, and then when you go to the Sun and Moon era, that's when things changed, I want to say, right? And
for sure.
If I remember correctly, there was a lot of hubbub about whether or not that was the right move, how it looked like. I think over the years, I've gotten better at it. I feel like the main thing for me, and what kind of like put me off initially, to be clear, I'm not referring to right now having watched Journeys. I'm referring to years ago when this character was redesigned and the whole style of it was redesigned. It just looked to me like this feels overly kiddie than it needs to be as far as how they looked like. And if they did something with the pupils and the eyes, and So I wasn't crazy about that. And that came after other decisions that were made before the fact that I wasn't so crazy about. So if there's a place to start off, and keeping in mind, there's so many things to say here, but that's one of the things. What mind are you of? How did you react when that the animation was updated and the designs were updated? And how do you feel any differently about them now than you used to?
When it first happened, I was actually pretty disappointed because X and Y, well, when we came to Unova, the fifth gen, they were starting to like do little upgrades into the animation. The first thing I noticed was when Pokemon evolved, you know, before it was just a white light and then the music that was playing. Yeah. I love the music that plays every time they evolve. Right. Like it was really cool. Like it felt like something like wonderful and like mysterious is happening. Like that's how the music sounded. But then in Unova though, it was just like this globe. This bluish glow on them and this energy swirling around their bodies. And it's kind of like, oh, why'd you change that? You know? And oh, the biggest change was Pikachu's iron tail. Before it was just a white glow.
Yeah.
But then in Unova, they actually like made it metal. And I was like, why? You know? So the animation cycle has always been changing. And I feel like in X and Y, that was where like they really got it right.
I see.
I'll still talk, but like I'm gonna look up some images.
Please
go
ahead and do so. Yeah, go ahead and do that. And again, we're only like 26 minutes into this podcast, but I want to keep people and their expectations in check. Like I haven't had the opportunity to talk about many of these things for years to anybody. Quite frankly, I haven't thought of this in almost a decade. So. And it's almost no way to get through it in, you know, this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And while David's doing that, I do apologize. I had to get up and close my window because I apparently live next to a zoo. fuck. I can't even. Seriously, I'm surrounded by kids the whole time.
But yeah, but then after X and Y though, that one, it was, yeah, like you said, it was a huge leap, of animation, and it kind of disappointed me too, because I really thought, you know, even when people first saw X and Y, people kind of thought, oh, like, this is different, you know, people even thought that they made Ash look a little bit older or something, but no, he was still 10 years old, and so when they did
and this, that's mentioned. I don't want to touch that, because I am sick and tired of hearing that conversation. Is he this or is he that? I'm not interested. Clearly, he is and he isn't, and it's up to you to decide, okay? That's not how it is. But you are correct. That was my observation as well. And perhaps, was it ever fully revealed why the change? Why so drastic too?
No, I don't think so. I never really found out why exactly that happened. But yeah,
it disappointed you. But then you went, but I guess you ended up giving it a chance because, I mean, you're watching it today, so.
Oh, yeah. They definitely changed it from Sun and Moon till now. It's still very much kid-like,
right.
But they definitely give him some of the features back from X and Y and all that.
Yeah, because when I'm watching Journeys, it didn't seem that bad. And when I say that bad, I mean, it didn't seem that drastic. Because when the first redesign, the one that we're referring to that caused a stir, was for Sun and Moon, correct? Mm-hmm. That's the one where it felt like he was younger somehow. And I believe they also incorporated Brock and Misty in that series.
Yeah, both Sun and Moon and then this one. And yeah, their character designs changed and all.
So where did you end up landing on it? How do you feel about it even to this day?
Sun and Moon, I still haven't even watched like the whole thing because I mentioned before the way they ended X and Y kind of like left a sour taste on it. But I mean, even then, actually, it's not my least favorite of the seasons because this one was like, I think unanimously all the Pokemon fans agree to this, but the Unova region is people's least favorite. Yeah, it's just because
I'm giving David this like, you know, nodding. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's gotta be. It's pretty out there. I mean, even I haven't seen any of Kalos, any of Sun and Moon, but I've seen or read, I should say, things that happen that kind of like pique my interest a little bit, right? And one of the things I hear is, well, let me see this. Let me ask this of you then. Again, I want to have you drive it because you're far more acquainted with this now. What about Unova in that whole era? Mm-hmm. What about that whole situation to this day? What happened there that was so different than all of the other regions and or seasons that unanimously, and I agree with you from what I've read, unanimously, that is the era of the show that is at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel that way? Also, why do you think?
Well, in the beginning, for one thing, in Diamond and Pearl, which is the one before this one, Ash's rival, like, people absolutely
they loved Paul, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think you could tell right off the bat on Unova, they wanted to like get that again, like get that rival that you just absolutely hate. You really hope Ash can beat, but nobody cared about him.
There was a rival?
It wasn't Paul. Yeah, there was a rival.
You see, I'm even asking you, what? I don't remember there being a rival.
It did not last long. Like, they had some battle, like, not even in the middle of the series, and he beats him, and that's how the rivalry ends. Yeah, and so that, like, right off the bat, you can tell, like, oh, this is, you're not gonna capture some of the moments from before. And and honestly, I can barely even remember his team. Like, I know he had a Oshawott.
The only reason I remember that is because I like Oshawott in general. Yeah, I like cool. The design. Kind of remind it, when I first saw it, the designs anyway, when they first leaked out, and because they're going back like 10 years, right? When I was still into this, but when I first saw the designs of like what they would look like, I'm like, why does this look a little bit like Piplup? Have you like you ever put a Piplup and an Oshawott next to each other and you're like, are they cousins?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I never noticed that.
I guess Oshawott is supposed to be an otter, right? And then yeah, Piplup is a penguin. Yeah. Maybe that's why.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, like, I honestly can't remember like what exactly Ash was going through in this series, what some of his Pokemon were going
right.
through. Because the biggest thing in Diamond and Pearl was his Chimchar.
If you remember. Oh, that was a great story, yes, where it was abandoned by his rival. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up evolving it fully, I want to say, to an Infernape, and then he ended up defeating him in the league of that yeah. region. Which, interestingly, and again, a lot, this is going to happen when you run for a quarter of a century, but a lot of, you know, there'll be a lot of similarities in certain dynamics throughout the different eras, because that in and of itself very much mirrors the original series, where a far lesser no-name character did the same thing to a Charmander that ended up being caught by Ash, and that ended up being the Charizard that everybody loves to this very day. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, it was much better. Because it was far more emotional as well, too.
Yeah, for sure. And also his companions. I mean, honestly, I just feel like they didn't go full potential.
I don't remember their names.
I don't remember their names either. But, like, I think one of them was Iris. I could be wrong. But, like, the girl companion, you know, there was this thing with her where she wanted to be a Dragon Master. But they never really explained what exactly a Dragon Master is.
So then, if you don't do that, then what does it look like? Oh, you just have like Dragon type Pokemon? Is that what it means?
Well, the thing with her, though, is that she can connect with dragon-type Pokemon. Like, she can actually, like, feel the emotions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, they just, nothing about it seemed like they could have opened up their full potential, you know? And so, like, I feel like you could have made her, like, a really big character in the whole Pokemon world and all that. And they brought her back in Journeys, spoilers, but she's champion of the Unova region.
Yeah, I mean, I heard they brought back a lot of faces, so it's not really surprising. I think I also saw a picture of her. I mean, the only thing I remember about her is that she has big hair. I mean, that's all I can remember, and it's purple. It's like, okay, that's the only memorable thing. To be fair, though, I didn't see very much of it. And then the other guy, he has green hair. That's all I can say. And I guess he wanted to be... Okay, yeah, one of the things that were... that I did read was left rather vague, which contributed to it not really working, was that he wanted to be a connoisseur, whatever the fuck that meant.
I don't think I understood what that was at all.
Right?
Yeah, it's just nothing really caught anyone's attention about what these characters wanted to do with their life.
It's really interesting because, like, that again, that was a fresh start, and off the bat, it just so the team, the roster wasn't, you know, impressive, and the dynamic wasn't there. That's like 50% of your show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, especially because after this one was Diamond and Pearl was like the last season for Brock. You know, he like. Mm-hmm. Decided to become a Pokemon doctor, and so he had that like little goodbye.
Yeah, that's true. He basically maybe like left once before the fact, but at that point he was around for 12 of the first 13 seasons, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big presence to just leave.
Yeah, for sure. And then you could tell that they wanted to replace him because what the new companion, what's something that the new companion does, he's a chef. And that's how Ash is able to get all the food that he wants. And so it's kind of like, it just felt they like shouldn't, you really
I
think tried.
with these franchises, and maybe with this one, they should have known better to do that. But like in general, like if you give a new character a similar trait that the one it replaced had, all you're going to do is remind people, oh yeah, you replaced this beloved character. And it reminds them, you're not as good. That's the thing, right? And it seemed perhaps that what they should have done, it's weird because I think maybe what happened in that series was it was a mixture of them wanting to do new things, but they're not fully committing. For example, you were saying that they were trying to like, for me, from the very beginning, it even before anything, I had even seen anything, was pretty clear with that character anyway. They were trying to do like a knockoff version of Brock, right? And what you mentioned there earlier is that they tried to basically do the rivalry thing all over again. But considering how good the previous one was, perhaps they shouldn't have even bothered, or at least handle it in a different way, or in a better way, in a competent way than what you described sounds rather lazy. And I think what you – this actually is – it could be probably listed as perhaps one of the traits – of this anime that has proven time and again to be a constant and an issue, no matter the era or the generation, in that the people behind the show can often change their minds. Oftentimes they will introduce things that in a way that you expect it to, you know, pay off. That you expect it to go somewhere. And by the time, and somewhere along the way, they're just abandoned. like completely, right? So what are examples of this? Well, one of the things that I was just recently reminded of, I've been watching some videos recapping, you know, the old shows. And one of the things that I was reminded about was that damn GS ball. That GS, like, it was that gold Pokeball that was, like, teased at the end of the first season. That was the whole purpose. They even went to the Orange Archipelago. And they even spent a good season and a half, I want to say, of the second generation in Johto delivering that ball to a person. And then when they finally delivered it, they're like, yeah, I don't know what this is. Anyway, thanks. Another thing, though, and you know what? I don't know if I want to get there, but they had, speaking of Unova, right? What else was different in Unova? Team Rocket.
Yes, I was going to bring that
up. Team Rocket, and it had mixed results. It had very mixed results because, again, you could also say maybe it could have worked, but they still didn't go all the way with it. It was very much like, you know, 1 foot in one car and 1 foot in the other. And from, I don't know this for sure, but I suspect something kind of changed plans. And the way that we know it right now, so tell me if I'm wrong here, but from what I remember, they had big plans for Team Rocket in that region. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, Jesse, James, and Meowth, but Giovanni. Like, him actually getting it, being involved at all was, like, rather remarkable. But, I mean, it was funny how, of all the agents he would recruit, these three, mm-hmm. I mean, that was, I mean, we need them to be these three because they're the main characters. They're in the main cast, right? So it needs to be. But I thought it was hilarious. But, and we'll get to those three in a minute. But overall, he was supposed to, they were building up this organization for the first time, maybe ever, like even before in the original like series throughout Kanto and Johto, there were like minor skirmishes left and right. Like one of the more memorable ones, there was a Red Gyarados that ended up being Lance's at the end of the day. There was an encounter with Lugia, but there were like skirmishes. Like even in Kanto and Johto, an aspect of the show was, like Team Magma or Team Aqua or Team Galactic, those things ended up, those organizations ended up being villains that they were being built up to and that they were events. But Rocket never really had that. They were just always around. And of course, I don't know if it was because of the Jesse, James, and Meowth of it all, that they didn't want to like go down that road. I don't know what it was. But in Unova, it seemed like that was changing. In addition to the fact that, and correct me here if I'm wrong, there, what they set up was, there was a Unova region criminal organization there too, by the name of, do you recall what the name was? Team?
In the game, it's Team Plasma.
Yeah, Team Plasma. Okay. So what they set up there was a rivalry, I think, and they were both after probably a legendary. I don't remember what it was at this point. I mean, that usually is what it is, right? So I can't remember what it was. But two big things happened that seemingly changed the whole storyline off course, and we never got around to it, and it was just dropped. Like, it was like, it was just dropped completely. One was a massive earthquake that ended up being the reason there was supposed to be a big two-part episode that featured Giovanni, the trio, and Rocket against Plasma. But it, and there's even a trailer. If you go online, there's a trailer that looks really good for it. They never aired them because they happened to have the misfortune of originally going to be aired on a day that a national tragedy happened. Mm. And you know what, Japan? If that happens, too bad, so sad. Doesn't matter where, how important you are to the overall story, you're never, ever, ever going to have a release date. And that's happened to this show several times. I mean, it's been on for so long that that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that never saw the light of day. Even though it's finished. It was finished. It was produced. It just, it's sitting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's ever seen it. Except for the creators. Yeah. So that's one thing. And that was supposed to be the first big like story as far as all of the setup that was done for it. The next thing is, and again, I could be mistaken, but from what I, some of the Japanese names, I don't know who they're referring to. I just can like use context clues. The voice actor that plays Giovanni died.
Oh, shit.
I think that's what happened. In the Japanese voice actor passed away. And what ends up happening is one of his assistants, a female assistant, ends up contacting the trio and tells them, yeah, guys, whatever our plans were, we're putting that on pause right now and you guys just do your own thing. Bye. It felt pretty random. I didn't see this. I read that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, this is all an example to show for people who are not aware of how quickly things can be dropped or just like act as if they never were a thing. This was supposed to be a pretty big thing and then it ended up being nothing because of reasons. I don't know. I guess on some level they're understandable, but I mean, mm-hmm. you could recast. Also, yeah. I'm sorry that people died, but what does that have to do with the show?
Getting your story right.
I mean, considering how important they were to the overall arc mm-hmm. and considering the amount of, you know, resources and effort and time that people, you know, did to create them, at some point, they should have been released or, you know, dumped somewhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like two unfortunate things happened that ended up, you know, being the reason it was dropped. And I guess at the end of the day, it was a rather missed opportunity and rather missed. If you don't, and you seem to not have been aware of this. And if that's the case, then if you're not, then it's kind of mystifying. If you're just watching the show as is, well, what happened here? Why was there all this buildup and setup if this just goes nowhere? Because mm-hmm. part of the things that was very different, it wasn't just the idea that Rocket was far more involved than they previously were, but it was that the trio themselves were treated drastically differently. In that they were no longer comedic relief. They were no longer, as they say, blasting off again. They were no longer, at least in initially, treated as morons. They were, I don't know what the explanation was. I guess they went back to the academy. I don't know what happened, or unless they had special training, but like they took themselves far more seriously and they were far more efficient in their overall performance as agents. If I'm not mistaken, that's how it was. Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying I was ever opposed to the idea. I feel like on paper, that's interesting because you are shaking up the dynamic of the trio. For the entirety, they were just comedic relief, but now you're going to make them more into a serious threat. That's not an objectionable idea. I think what happened was, for one, there was a decision made somewhere along the way that even though they were going to like change the dynamic and they were going to bring something new to this new generation, a decision was made that they were no longer going to appear in every episode. And for that matter, they weren't even going to appear sometimes at all for a long time. Because if you remember, what happened was at that time for like 13, 14 years straight, the trio made an appearance in every single episode. Even in episodes that quite frankly, they probably shouldn't have been in, but I mean, how many times have they interrupted a gym battle? How many times have they interrupted to hear that there? So it's like they were a staple, but why were they there? Because they were there for comedic relief. And since they're no longer going to be that, a decision was made that they weren't going to appear anymore as often. And they were hardly ever utilized. And from what I recall, I know that particularly alienated me because, like, hey, they're a big reason why I like the series and you're taking them away completely. I mean, it's one thing to, like, shake up the dynamic, but to just, like, remove them. And then even worse, because for what was this for, right? Mm-hmm. But on top of all of that, they also, and this is hilarious, because what they ended up doing was, if you recall, they were forced to leave all of their Mons at the base, including one of the more popular ones, which was the first time that it's, like, ever been left behind, Boba Fett, right? And he's a very popular character, like, all over. He's so, like, prevalent. The trio becomes a quartet, basically, because of how prevalent, like, he's in. But he wasn't in that series. And think about it this way. People so missed him. They did a special, like, broadcast in Japan asking the viewers which Team Rocket Pokemon they would want to see back. I'm not even joking. There was a poll that you could, like, go vote on. And the options were the options were Mime Jr., the option Dustox, and Wobbuffet. And obviously we know who won, because when they came back from Unova, you know, transitioning into X and XY, guess who came back? Mm-hmm. Wobbuffet. So again, some more trivia there, but that's why he came back. Which rarely happens. Rarely does it happen where a Pokemon leaves a trainer's party and then comes back on a permanent basis. Like, think, try and think hard, David, of the number of times that's happened. When a Pokemon leaves their trainer, and then after a long period of time, they come back, not on a temporary, that happens every now and then, on a temporary basis, but on a permanent basis. How often does that happen?
No.
I could tell you one, but that would be a spoiler. Based on what I saw today in the still images.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but,
I mean, I don't think it was permanent.
No. So, I don't know. Let me ask you then. How did you feel the Rocket Gang were handled in the Unova?
At first, I found it pretty interesting because I was like, oh, you guys are actually good villains. Like,
yeah, not completely useless.
Yeah. But then, like, you know, the more and more you kept explaining some stuff, though, the more I was like, yeah, even then, like, even if, like, they added those things that you mentioned, it still wouldn't have led up to anything, because, like, you know, there was a moment where Ash meets Giovanni, and, you know, it was pretty hyped up at the moment, because it's like, oh my gosh, he's meeting him, like, are they gonna fight or anything? But yeah, like, again, it didn't really lead up to anything. It's not like he saw Ash as, like, a worthy rival or something like that, or he kind of, like, kept him on the list of, like,
there's no connection between those two.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, even then, that's kind of, like, the main problem with the series as a whole, is that, you know, they add some things in. And there is, like, an arc ending to some of them, especially with Ash. Mm-hmm. But, like, ultimately, though, like, there's not much development in a sense, because they still want to keep it for kids.
Right.
And that kind of, like, that was definitely, like, the biggest problem at the end of X and Y, because, you know, the Pokemon League thing happened, and they wanted to do the whole, you know, it's not about the journey. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. So, like, he loses the league because it's all about the friends that they made along the way. It's not about winning, type of thing. But because of that, though, that they wanted to, like, keep it still, keep it not progress anything, people got mad, especially when X and Y ended. And so now after that,
At that point, remind me, how long has it been since X and Y ended? 8 years? 7 years?
Was I in high school? I don't think so.
No, like, it couldn't have been that long ago. Damn it, it couldn't have been that long ago. I don't think so. Like, we're, you know what? Forget I asked that question. Let me let me rephrase it a different way. That would have been season what? Okay, if Unova was like 14, 15, and 16, X and Y would be 17, 18, and 19. At that point, look, I get that, yeah, the show's been on for 20 years. Are you ever going to give us his win? I can understand the frustration for sure in the fan base. Let me ask you this other question, though. Particularly with Unova, do you remember many of the mons that were introduced? Like, which ones at the top of your head can you remember from that generation?
Unova?
The Pokemon, yeah. I know Oshawa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oshawa Tempig, I think that was his name. And Snivy, I think those were the main three.
I meant in general. Can you name many? Were there any particular ones that you liked from that generation, like the design-wise or character-wise?
Yeah, there was Haxorus, who was like the last evolution of Axew. That one was like very adorable first evolution, but then like a badass final evolution. Actually, I remember a lot of those because that was... So my first game was Diamond version. Uh-huh. The thing, though, is that I never made it that far and I lost the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so Black and White was actually like the first one that like I actually played like the whole thing, beat the champion and all that. And so the game like holds a special place in my heart because like I like remembered all the Pokemon. I truly tried to like kind of like know all their types. So I know a lot of them. So yeah, like there's Haxorus, there was Braviary, that one's like a eagle looking one that has like red, white, and blue colors. Hydreigon, the legendaries. I actually really love the legendaries. What was it? Zekrom and Reshiram. Those ones, like, they just look badass. I remember when first seeing them. I loved it. Also, and actually in the game, the thing that I love the most is that I found that, you know, there's always like a third legendary that like you don't see in the cover. I found the third legendary like all on my own.
Did you?
Yeah, I literally just, you know, you get to explore different places once you beat the champion. And I just stumbled upon a place. Like all of a sudden you're like in these green trees area and then you go through a tunnel and all of a sudden it's just snow. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So I just kept exploring and I found it. And it's just, you know, I'm sure everyone got that when they first played Red and Blue, they got that sense of like wonder when they first saw Mewtwo.
Right.
And so that was me in the game. So yeah, that's why like Black and White just kind of holds the game holds a special place in my heart. But the show just, it wasn't good. But yeah.
Also, I didn't know this myself, but I guess it's very understandable. From what I read on the fan Reddit was that the voice actors, particularly of James, Jesse, and Meowth, were not happy with the material they were given in Unova. They were not happy. And you know what? I mean, look at it from their side. They were so used to like, hey, we're working every week. Like, we're here in every episode. You go from that to hardly being in it at all. How would you respond to that? Like, hey, what the fuck's going on here? Why is my character being written out? Also, it's not just that. I think they also didn't like the creative direction they took the characters. Because one of the accusations was that they took away all the personality and all the humor away from Rocket and all the soul. Because one of the things about those characters is that they're characters that I guess they think they're evil, but they're not. You know, and occasionally they do bad things. It's like a Hondo Ohnaka, right? In a way, it's like, you know, they every now and then they stumble their way into doing something truly bad, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of good in them. And they end up helping, like, considerably. They have their moments, right? But they're mostly just, you know, bumbling people. They try to like have some successes, but that's why I think like, how else do you explain why in some of the other, I know particularly the first two generations, that's all they were. But then starting with, I want to say particularly like Diamond and Pearl. And then they kind of, I feel like they did this again with, from what I've read anyway, from X and Y and Sun and Moon, is they gave them other things to do. Like a big thing for Jesse was the contests. Yeah, they gave them something mm-hmm. to do besides just like being, and actually showed them off like, no, they could actually be good trainers and actually mm-hmm. succeed at different things. And almost made you feel like, just quit this organization and look how good you're doing here. Like, get away from that and start doing this. Like, but yeah, that's what I heard and read about it. But speaking of drama, where were you when the big change happened in 2000? Was it 2006, 2007? When Four Kids stopped producing the show. So what I mean by that is Four Kids produced mm-hmm. the first 8 seasons of the series. And these are the seasons that were, well, the first, like, I want to say 5 were the ones that are most, at that time, were considered the peak. And then they kept airing on Kids WB. And if you're a kid in the early 2000s, that was the place to be. That was better than Chuck E. Cheese, was waking up on a Saturday morning and watching Kids WB. And one of the highlights was the series. And at some point, the Pokemon Company made the decision that they would take over production of the show. It would be moved away from this. I need to go back and really like research what was the big deal here, because if you think about it, they went from one Warner Brothers owned network to another Warner Brothers owned network. They went from WB to Cartoon Network. But I think one of the driving factors was cost. They just wanted to cut the cost of production. Mm. And I felt what I remember reading was that Four Kids was too expensive. Mm. And they wanted to change. And so in 9th season, I think it was Battle Frontier, right? The Battle Frontier year, which was the last season of the Advanced Generation. And I feel like Advanced Generation is one of the only series, and again, you correct me if I'm wrong here, that has 4 seasons and not 3 seasons.
I think it does.
Because there's Advanced, Advanced Challenge, Advanced Battle, and Battle Frontier. Now, the difference is, The region was for 3 seasons, but the last season was they went back to Kanto and they did this new thing called Battle Frontier, mm-hmm. Where it wasn't gyms. I mean, they basically were gyms, but they were calling them something else. And to me anyway, that was a struggle to mm-hmm. get through. As somebody who at that point had seen every episode for 8 seasons, it didn't matter that it went to a different network. What mattered was is the voice actors that had spent almost a decade everybody was replaced. And it didn't help that it was a rough first season from a voice acting standpoint. Do you not recall? maybe you weren't there. I remember it was by the time you got to the Diamond and Pearl, it was like you adjusted to it. Mm-hmm. But go in. I feel like if you go back and do a YouTube search and hear the voices for the first time, they're the new actors that have been that the actors that are here today were there in that shift. So they've been around for like 16 years. At this point, I want to say, go back and listen to what they first sounded like. They're almost completely different. Right. And it was a rough change. And it almost makes me feel whenever, not that I watch the show anymore, but whenever Rick and Morty comes back from the scandal that just happened, because they now need to replace basically most of the recast their characters, right? There might be a transitional period there. Yeah, that was rough, dude. I remember I was like, and you know what? It wasn't just the voice actors that changed, but keep in mind it was the whole production. The music choices that would play in the background were different. It didn't feel as dynamic. I also wasn't very... You asked me this. I'm sorry, you answered me this. Generally speaking, how would you rank the eras based on quality of animation? Because I felt like, at least in the moment, it really felt like they had a really nice like groove in the advanced generation as far as animation was concerned. And then it kind of felt a little bit washed out. I don't know what the reason was for that. And then, I don't know, how do you feel? Like, as far as the quality of animation, which ones would you say were, how would you rank them?
Oh, for sure, X and Y is, like, the best. I feel like they really kind of added more range into the battles. Like, you get to see their speeds and all that, whereas in the original, like, I don't know, it just kind of felt stagnant. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
Can I just comment on that?
Hmm.
I don't remember them that way up until recently. And this is where I'm a little bit of an interesting case here. I'm doing a back and forth kind of situation. So I mentioned to you that I'm for the first time watching the Journeys season, right? And I'm watching the quality of animation. I'm watching how they do battles there. Like the most recent one I saw, okay, try to remember in your mind, the first season of Journeys. They just went to Gallos and they were watching, not Kalos, or maybe it's a different region. It's that region where the Pokemon ended up being huge.
Okay.
And they're watching a battle between Lance and Leon. And Lance is using a Gyarados and Leon is using a Charizard. And I was like, whoa. This looks really good. Like, yeah. I wasn't like... And then this past week, I've been revisiting the original episodes from like seasons 1 through 5. And some of those battles, I'm like, ooh. Oh, okay. This is not how I remember this at all. I mean, it felt very stiff and stilted. And I'm like...
Yep.
Huh. This isn't how I remembered it in my head, but comparing that to what I just saw on my 4K TV, and I'm like, that's interesting.
Yeah. In your mind, you're probably like, it was an epic battle. Bam, like, they're hitting each other and all that, blah, blah. No, yeah, it's kind of not fair to, like,
compare the... Because it's, I mean, that's... With those particularly, that's we're talking about like 2 decades of separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yeah. But I mean, I will say though, I think my second favorite might have been, Damien and Pearl, because like it mostly has to do with the battles. I remember that last battle between Paul and Ash, like just being so fucking epic. I still rewatch it though too. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only ones I rewatched from the old ones. And then after that. The advanced series, because again, I love those battles with the gym leaders, because it wasn't just an arena. Like, no, you had it. There was, if you're gonna go up against a flying type gym leader, you're gonna get Pokemon that can fly, like they're gonna fight in the air and all that. And so, that I'm sure if I rewatch it, I don't know how I'm gonna feel about it, but I remember those like being like really, really cool.
Well, I mean, the series is about to conclude. I want to say that I read somewhere that this very week, they were in production in the English dub of the final episode.
Mm.
So it should be coming pretty soon, right?
Yeah. The newest ones that came out on Netflix, I mentioned that he's doing like the final battles leading up into him becoming number one. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty hyped up about it, honestly.
Sure, yeah. You should feel that way. But I guess what I'm saying is when it's all said and done, maybe take some time and and watch it all from the beginning and see what that experience would be like.
Maybe. I mean, I'll see if I can look up clips at least of some of the best battles or something.
Well, actually, I could actually share with you. There was two videos because one of the channels that I follow that does like really good content on like a lot of the shows that we would watch when we were, you know, of that certain age. And let me actually share with you because what this person is doing. Oh, Jordan Fringe. Mm-hmm. Jordan Fringe is the YouTuber, and he's basically going on this whole recapping Ash's complete journey. Since he's the character that's being retired here, mm-hmm. they're going through from the very beginning. So that's actually a pretty good substitute because it kind of like catches you up on all the major events. It kind of mm-hmm. skips the filler and just covers the main things. And that might be a good enough taste where you don't feel the need to watch it all again. And it's a pretty big deep dive because, for example, the first one he did just covered the first two seasons, and that video is 2 hours and 7 minutes long.
Wow.
And then the second video, which was published, I think, just 7 days ago, only covered Generation 2, and that's 1 hour and 43 minutes long. I think he has 8 generations to get through, right? So mm-hmm. This is gonna cover the rest of the year, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And they're all pretty long enough. And I watch them, and they're really entertaining. And it's kind of like a good recap of the journey that has been so far. I'm actually gonna send you the link right now.
Cool.
So, yeah. That was a wake-up call, I gotta be honest with you. It was like, whoa, interesting. And even though I'm still not sure how to feel about the complete absence of my favorite trio, right, of every mm-hmm. episode, I haven't been bored. I've actually been quite entertained. And it actually kind of like caught me by surprise because, again, I want to reiterate, the first season of Journeys. And the first one is called Enter Pikachu. And I was like, not sure what was going on here. Because basically it's a flashback episode. Because mm-hmm. it goes back all the way before even the show even got started. And we're following around like this Pichu the whole time. And I'm like, this is cool. I'm wondering where this is going. And I was wondering in the back of my mind, like, this isn't what I think this is going to be, right? Like, and then when it ends up coming out to the end and he's by the moon, and I'm like, oh shit, this is oh. And it felt kind of like, I don't know what the right emotion is, but it's like, I feel like on paper this would have been such a bad idea to do this, mm-hmm. But somehow ended up working out really well. I guess there's inconsistencies left and right about like, because in the anime you'll see like baby versions of like fully evolved Pokemon, and you're like, huh? Mm-hmm. So at the time there was no such thing as Pichu when the show first aired, so there was like no indication that, you know, Pikachu had already evolved from something else because it didn't mm-hmm. exist in the first place. That's the real answer, right? But that was like, aw. I was like, oh, I didn't know this. I was like, huh. And it kind of like was like, wow, it's like seeing the beginning of time almost in a way, you know, it's like you're going way back in there. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of a shakeup too, because for one, they're going through all the regions. And the dynamic is different because he has a research partner. And they're working for a lab, and it's like, huh, this is this is not what this usually is, or what it historically was, which was just, you know, going through a new region, a new group of Pokemon, and then he has battles, and then he goes to a league, and then he loses a league, and then you start all over again from square one. So that was an interesting change of pace for the show, one that I'm enjoying so far. I don't know from what I've read, it... Team Rocket fans have not been thrilled with how they've been utilized, which is they show up, they don't have much of an impact, and there's not much character this time around, and they don't even have their own Pokemon. They just like a pelican. Is it a pelican or a Pelipper? Sorry, a pelican is a real animal. I get it confused. So a Pelipper comes around and he drops this like. It feels like one of those like machines that like you put a quarter in and you get like a, I don't know, a ring pop out of, which is basically what it is. And then they just like the random ownerless Pokemon are thrown in there and it's like, oh, okay. I don't, I mean, it was weird to see of all people, like the trio, like command a Gyarados or a Tyranitar. I was like, that's a bit strange. Mm-hmm. Or a Wailord of all things. I know, right? That was strange, but different, I guess. I mean, I feel like maybe that in concept, perhaps that's one of that's one of the ways they could show as many old Pokemon as possible.
Yeah.
So there's that. I'm trying to think, like, what really was my favorite era of the show? That's why I'm kind of like revisiting like pockets of episodes from like the era, and I kind of like figure out where I landed. But I remember just like being obsessed with the advanced generation and being so because that was the peak of me being passionate about it. And then the turn that happened with the voice actors. But then I also really liked the Diamond and Pearl era. A lot of the Diamond and Pearl era I really liked, even though I had a little bit less exposure to it because it felt anyway it was a little bit harder to catch the episodes than Advanced Generation, and at that point I don't think streaming was big enough where if you missed one you could just go and find it someplace easily enough. So yeah, you were gonna say
no.
Well, I thought you were gonna say something about so Unova is at the very bottom of it, right? What would be second least favorite? Or, yeah.
Second least?
From what you told me, so X and Y is at the top, and Unova and Black and White is at the bottom. Okay. Where do the others fall in there?
Honestly, it's probably going to be like the first gens of the series, not because like they were bad or anything. It's just I mean, like I said, I saw them when they came out, so I don't really remember much about them, and so
this show does change a lot throughout the decades. Like that show was very different, like different writers obviously that were involved with it, and in the dubbing especially, which is what we're talking about, that felt like a much more Western version of it. A lot of from what I didn't realize it, but now that I'm seeing some of them again, I'm realizing how much of the Japanese culture they kind of like were, you know, steering away from. And there are some, they used to do a lot of really overt stereotypes in a lot of the voice actors. I don't know if you need to go back and some of it's quite funny because I saw this on TikTok. Somebody was like posted a video of one of the older episodes from the first season where Brock was like Brock and Ash were complaining about this lady at the academy and that they failed and whatever. And then they reveal that she is like really attractive. And I don't know what did he say that, I think I forgot. No. I had the video. It was so funny and he was laughing out loud. But it was a joke that I don't think would be made today. There was some depictions. If you go back in, I mean, dude, it's not that surprising because look at Master Roshi and look how much they've toned him. Toned him down from like, and that was the late 80s, early 90s. That was really bad. At least with Roshi, that was like I don't know how you can recover from that.
Yeah, I definitely remember as the series went on, Brock became like, he had less and less women to hit on, basically.
And the way that he would like throw himself at them was not as, what's the right way of saying it? Inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. but yeah, and I mean ranking them all, the other ones just had something in them that like always caught my attention. So like I said, like with the advanced one, I love the battles, the gym battles that he had to go with, especially with the flying type that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. He brought back Charizard to fight him and all that, and it all led to him fighting the champion of that region, which it wasn't going to be like a 6-on-6 battle how it usually is. No, right. It was 3-on-3, and he used Charizard, Squirtle, and no, 4-on-4, sorry. Charizard, Squirtle, Bulbasaur, and Pikachu, like his main Pokemon that he was going to go up against a champion. And so, I don't know, there was just like this build up of it that like hyped me up. And then with Diamond and Pearl, Paul, just, you know, like I said, that's everyone's favorite rival. Everyone absolutely hated him, but, and so you kind of just felt happy that when he won. And X and Y though is the one that like had the most of things to remember, because you had his companion, well, you had Ash, where he was no longer the underdog in the series. You know, this time everyone was kind of like looking up to him, wanted to be as good as him. And then you had his companions, where one guy, another gym leader companion, but instead of like with Brock, who wanted to travel, the connoisseur, I don't know what the fuck he was doing.
Right.
This one, like I said, he was looking up to Ash. He was kind of like, I want to follow you so I can be a better gym leader. And then when it came to the moment where they had to like go up against each other, I was like, I kind of want the companion to win. You know, like you've been fighting, man. Like I kind of, you know, that's the whole thing. That's always been the buildup of stuff, is like you kind of want the other person to win for once instead of Ash.
Right.
And then you had the female companion, who at first she only went along with Ash because she had like a little crush on him. But then later on, she got into those performances, I guess you can say. And hers, like, just kind of became my favorite. She wasn't that different from...
Which companion? X and Y?
Serena? Yeah.
Ah, uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, and so her... It wasn't that different from the other... these other two companions who were also doing performances, where like they kept losing a lot in the beginning, but then they got better and better. That one, actually, I'll send you a clip of, I don't think there is a clip though, fuck, of one of like Serena's performances, where it just kind of like, it really like, it hyped me up, going like, oh my gosh, she's doing it. She's gonna win. She's definitely gonna win, isn't she? Nah, I don't think they have like the performance. Maybe they do.
By the way,
I'll send it to you after.
I found the video. Let me just play it for you. This guy is just filming his TV. Let me see if hopefully you can hear it. Did you hear that?
Well,
again, I don't know if you can make that today, but I mean, not on this kind of show, I don't feel, but she can violate my rights. Also, it was strange because in this clip, Ash is also crushing along with Brock, and he rarely shows any sexuality. So that was one of the, you know, one of the early, you can tell this is a very early episode, for it to be the case. Curious to hear though, what would you say are among your favorite Pokemon?
Ooh.
And you, as you mentioned earlier today on the chat, there are over 1,000 to choose from.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the one that I always get in every game is Lucario.
Oh.
I think he looks the coolest. it's like this wolf kind of creature. I don't know. But yeah, he's definitely my favorite, I think. I tried playing him in Super Smash Brothers, but I'm not that good, sadly.
Oh, no. Oh, I never played that. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't feel like I would do it.
Mm-hmm. And then there was it Haxorus from the Unova region? That one just looks fucking badass. From the original.
Or from any generation. It doesn't have to be the original.
No, yeah. This one's always the toughest, actually, because in Diamond and Pearl had like the best looking starters. At least to me, because this is one reason why I didn't go far in my Diamond version of the game. It's because I kept deleting my file and like choosing a new starter.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Because I love them all, dude. They look so badass, especially in their final forms. Mm-hmm. I haven't liked one as much as theirs in a long time.
It's rare, honestly, that I like the final forms as much as I like the original ones. Like, for example, I think with Charmander, it works with Charizard, but I don't feel the same way about a Venusaur or a Blastoise as I do about a Squirtle or a Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
At the same time, so you mentioned Diamond and Pearl. Well, I know that Turtwig and Chimchar, I guess I can get behind Infernape. Torterra? Okay. Is it Emporion? Emporion?
Empoleon.
Empoleon. Yeah, it's a great design, but it's like, I feel like it was an easy contest for me. Like, I think the starter I picked was always Piplup.
Mm-hmm.
I love that design. Yeah. I would want a Piplup. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Blaziken. That one.
Ooh, yeah.
Blaziken and Sceptile. I think that's what I said. I think it was what? Sceptile, like the other starter Pokemon in that gen.
Uh-huh.
Love them, especially their Mega Evolution form.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. I think I choose Sceptile more than Blaziken, though.
I mean, I feel like fan favorites over the years, just based on how much they've been used, have been like, I mean, obviously, Pika Pika, right? Pikachu is always going to be there. Squirtle, a Bulbasaur, Charizard, Mewtwo. I'm sure all the legendaries have like their fan bases. Dragonite. But didn't Ash catch up for Dragonite?
He did.
Recently? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I feel like the original 151 are always going to have like a certain sense of like special place in people's hearts because they were the first ones.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Other than that, I always like the quirky ones, the humorous ones. Like I always liked Misty's Psyduck.
No, you should be Psyduck.
Right?
It's adorable. I love that they put him in the Pokemon movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Detective Pikachu. Uh-huh. That was so good.
Jesse's Wobbuffet was always like one of my favorites. Also, speaking of journeys, I was really amazed in one of the battles, just for its ingenuity. Ash uses Mr. Mime in a battle. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, and I felt like that was one of the moments where I'm like, I could see the growth because like you're using Mr. Mime and he's kicking ass. I think he, who did he beat? He beat Hariyama. He's like a freaking sumo wrestler.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and it's not just, and it's the Mr. Mime that he caught at the very beginning that's never seen a battle, I don't think. Like, he basically ends up being his mom's Pokemon more than, is Mime considered his? Or is it, I always just considered him like her, his mom's.
I don't know, actually. I guess it might be his since he's using it.
Let me see here. Which of, which companion would you say was your favorite?
Of Ashes? Or, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm taking Pokemon Companion.
That you got your Misty, Brock, May, Dawn, Iris, Serena, and Go, and all the other ones.
I think it might be the current one in Journeys, not Go, but the other girl. She's barely in it right now where you're at, but she's as the show goes on, she slowly starts to kind of become part of them.
The you mean Go's girlfriend?
Is she girlfriend?
Or, I guess her girl that happens to be his friend.
Yeah, she's also the professor's daughter. That one. Her, I'm really liking her because in the beginning, she's not so obsessed with Pokemon like everyone else. Like
she seems to have an aversion to them.
Yeah, and so as the show goes on, she slowly starts to like them, and she's also like figuring out like, what the fuck do I want to do with my life? You know, like she just,
I mean, that's so relatable, right? Options.
And so, and then everyone wants to do something that's like related to Pokemon. And at some point, small spoilers, but like she talks to her mom. She's like, how the heck did you figure it out? And I think the mom's like a graphic designer of sorts or something. And so she never got to do anything like with Pokemon, but like she still likes to kind of portray them in some way. And so it's just, I'm liking her journey, basically. What exactly she wants to do with her life. And she has a perfect companion, which is an Eevee, where if you don't know, it can evolve into like 8 different types of Pokemon.
I mean, I'm surprised they only limited to 8 at this point, because they just kept expanding and expanding that evolutionary line for so many different iterations. Yeah, Eevee is one of the more popular ones. I always wondered why that one, you know, was so popular. Because of that, I'm sure. One of the things I've noticed, though, too, is throughout the generations, they have devoted more screen time. I feel like as the show goes on, from the beginning to the end, they put in more effort in developing the personalities of some of the trainers' Pokemon, and I mean it on the main cast, from Ash to even Team Rocket, because revisiting the older episodes, wow, so I feel like everybody's Pokemon besides Ash's was given no personality or given no chance to develop. Like I love like Arbok and Weezing, but they don't really have much in the way of personality. The same can be said for most of Brock's Pokemon and Misty's. Like, they're just kind of there. And I feel like I want to say that as the generations go, they do a better job of, like, making sure at least one or two on every main cast member's team gets some development. Because, I remember, they were hardly ever even like seen. Like, remember, like Brock had like an Onix and a Geodude, and it was funny because he had a Zubat, and then at some point it evolved into a Crobat, and then into a Wait. I think it evolved into a Gobat, and then it evolved into a Crobat. I think. I don't remember this line. It's been so many years. Do you have any particular favorite episodes besides that are not centered on battles of the series? Because the thing is, like, this was, especially in the very beginning, this was more than just, like, a show that was just about Pokemon battling. They did a lot of different, like, genres or different kind of, like, there was different, you know, exotic locations and different, you know, tones that they would take. They would, you know, there were, I think for some people, one of the more emotional types of episodes were when they would release fan favorite Pokemon.
Or those emotional ones where Pokemon do get abandoned.
Yeah.
There was one in X and Y where they visit a house because I think it was like raining outside or something. And I mean, this happens in, I think, in every generation, but that they always end up in a place that like, and that they think is all haunted. Like they think if there's like actual ghosts, but it always ends up being a Pokemon. But in X and Y though, there was this one Pokemon that was like doing all these hauntings in the house, and they were like, you know, what the heck are you doing here? And they realized that this Pokemon was left here, that like, its trainer was just gone. Later on, they realized that the trainer that the Pokemon had was this old lady, and it was like her granddaughter that came to the house like the next morning, and she explains to everyone like, no, like my grandma passed away just a few days like. I think a couple of days ago or something. And so they're like, oh, dang. And so they had to tell that to the Pokemon that was haunting the house. And I was just like, oh, you know, like it just got this sad look on his face. It was a kind of like emotional moment in the series. But favorite one? Damn. This.
No, I mean, favorite any that come to mind, I guess I should ask. Yeah. Because... again, a lot of years, a lot. You have like over 1,000 episodes to choose from, literally. Man, it's fine if you can't think of any because there's been so many of them. I mean, if you ever have, if you ever think of one, you always bring it up the next time. I mean, this new. Series, these last three seasons, correct me here, has there not been a new generation since Sun and Moon of new Pokemon?
They're that one place where they're going, where there's giant Pokemon, that one's technically the new gen, but we haven't gone one for the current one, which is Scarlet and Silver. That one's going to be for the next series, the new characters. So technically Journeys is supposed to be for the current gen,
Generation 8
Sword and Shield. That's the game.
Okay.
But they kind of don't go there as much, so they're not traveling the entire region,
right basically. So, just so I have this straight, the series that is going to follow this next generation is going to be a sequel series, basically, right? It's not, it's basically the same show, but it's not going to feature the main characters. And do you know what went into the decision? Have you gone into, like, doing some reading as to, like, why they felt this was the time to retire? Hi, Alexis. She's behind you. She just opened the door. Why this was the time to retire these characters?
I think a big part of it might have to do with how people reacted in X and Y. And so they, I mean, like we've been talking about throughout this whole episode, like, you know, whenever there's like a big complaint going on in the series, they course correct as fast as they can. And so with the big uproar in X and Y, I think they kind of went, okay, let's give him the champion. And after that, they kind of went, well, where the fuck is he going to go after this? And so they kind of just, they may have just thought, let's end it. Let's just start someone new and have them relearn everything, basically, that's Ash going to do. And I don't really mind that much, like starting a new, starting off with a new character, because like I still think you're still gonna get kids watching no matter what, and I mean that's their audience, you know. As much people want to say, like, you know, I'm the fan here, like, and I want to see Ash keep going or something, I don't know, it's like, you're not the audience, I'm not the audience anymore, you know. And so yeah, I think it's just this big course correction that they took, and now they're kind of stuck in a hard place and decided to just end it.
yeah well, I can't wait to see how it goes. I think I'm gonna make the decision to keep watching, but I need to. I'm doing this weird thing where I'm like, at the same time I'm watching Journeys and I'm rewatching the older ones, but I still have yet to see. There's a big chunk I didn't watch. Like I stopped watching at the beginning of Black and White, so I have not seen any of the Kalos episodes. I have not seen any of Sun and Moon. So it's like, I'm like doing like this forwards, backwards kind of situation going on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm curious to see how it would all pan out when it's all said and done. And I guess you could catch the latest episodes on Netflix. Okay. Before we go, let's go ahead and transition off into Shazam. Now, I don't know if you've heard what I said on the last podcast. Now, the last podcast, I guess chronological order, would be one that I haven't even edited yet, because I did one with Alexis. But the last one would be the one that I did by myself, and I felt quite strongly in that Shazam was really good. And since then, I saw it a second time, and I'm like, dude, fuck everybody. This movie is great. I love it. It's everything I want in a superhero movie. And yet again, something I quite end up loving ends up getting punched in the dick. Your thoughts? Why does this happen all the time? Every time. And it's not just me. It's like all of us really responded to this movie. Even Peter like really liked it. And it's like, of course. Maybe that's why. Because all of us happen to like it.
Mm-hmm, I guess. But yeah, I really liked it. I really like where they kind of took Billy and some of the what's the other friend, or the friend's name? Freddie, yeah. I liked this thing with him and Rachel Zegler's character and all that. Like, I don't know, it worked for me,
dude, for some reason. It worked really well in a kind of an old school kind of way. It was kind of seamless. I think it speaks to what great actors Rachel and Jack are. Jack Dylan Grazer, particularly, like there was some scenes where like he was like being tortured, and they were like, I felt that in a way that reminded me of Jacob Tremblay.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, I kind of wish he was like the main character in this movie, just because
Better. Like he's better. He's more engaging. He's also in the movie more. Like Asher Angel was like barely there. It felt like.
That was my big complaint. It's just I kind of wish there was more of him, the young Billy, in it, especially because like I feel like you really could have taken him somewhere cool. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Zachary Levi, though, like he's still. I understand the complaints people said, like his performance is like way different from
very different
and all that. But like I still find him hilarious. I still think he's a great actor and all that. So I liked his performance and all. My one other complaint though is some of the action scenes, they gotta get better at it. it felt like when one person is fighting and the rest are off screen, it's like they just stop. Like, they're not doing anything, you know, until they come back on screen. Sure. It's kind of like...
That's what the Way of Water was like, right? I mean, a lot of the villagers kind of, like, were, like, they dropped off the face of Pandora. Because it was literally... I mean, they were just... I guess there was a battle that happened, but we didn't see it. They were just somewhere else.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
But yeah, I found the jokes to be funnier in this one. I still enjoy all the characters. especially love that scene where the villains are reading their letter.
Mm-hmm.
That one just got like the biggest laugh in my
theater. That was so good. And again, the way that Helen Mirren committed to it, it was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
No, the jokes landed here really well.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton Reed, if you're watching or listening, or if you, well, if you happen to watch this movie, that's what a joke looks like.
For sure.
What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the way, look at your phone. I just shared with you an article that was written, wow, it was a long time ago, 2016. Called the 10 best Pokemon of all time. And I'm like, really? Some of these choices were like, I mean, it starts off with Rapidash. What? Maybe I'm not aware of what big thing happens with that Pokemon, or I don't know.
I think it's just because it's a Pokemon, it's a horse, and you can actually like ride on it. I mean, you can ride on a whole bunch of other Pokemon, but like, I don't know, maybe Rapidash is like, because it's a horse, you can like more see it, more imagine it, I guess you can say.
Uh-huh.
But Drifloon, even being in the list.
What the What? I don't even remember it half the time. Like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
I like Snorlax.
Snorlax is cool.
Yeah, Munchlax and nice. Snorlax, yeah.
Have you seen how it looks like? And it's like Gigantamax form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's hilarious. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Squirtle, I understand. Turtwig for sure.
Gyarados.
Slowpoke? I don't know about that. Cubone. Piplup. Yeah. And Eevee. Yeah, Eevee, I can understand being... Actually, the number one favorite Pokemon for people is Greninja.
Greninja?
Yeah, that's in Pokemon X and Y. I think... I don't know when... I don't know how they came up with it, but... Yeah, like, at some point, people, like, found out that Greninja is, like, top Pokemon for people. And it's how it That's kind of how it ended up in... No, it didn't. It ended up in Smash Brothers, but it wasn't because of, like, being number one. It was because the creator of the game, that is his favorite Pokemon.
Interesting, then. Curious how the most iconic one couldn't find his way onto a top 10 list. Which would be Pikachu.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, go ahead, continue. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm curious what they're going to do in the next series as like for the main Pokemon. Because there is a character that has a Pikachu, but it's still not going to be like the main companion to the main character, you know?
Oh, so they are going to keep a Pikachu in the picture. That's going to be interesting. Interesting how how they're going to pull that off. I may ask you on the Shazam thing, David.
Yeah.
I feel like some people need to get a grip on reality. The movie didn't... One of the reasons the film didn't do well wasn't because, oh, well, James Gunn's going to reboot this anyway. I can understand among super hardcore fans and people who... mainly inhabit this space that all of us do here online, I can understand that playing a role in a lack of enthusiasm or excitement. But if we're being serious here, the average person that goes to the theater has no understanding of what the hell is going on as far as the overall picture that DC is concerned. So the fact that people keep parroting this talking point that one of the reasons it didn't do well was because, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, then I'm not buying it. Personally, I'm not buying it. So then let me ask you, how do you feel about the next few films? That would be Blue Beetle, The Flash, and Aquaman. How excited are you about those or not?
The Flash, That one's just more so curiosity. Like, what the fuck are they going to do?
Well, also, why are people raving about it so much? Well, I mean, high-profile individuals. Like, they literally, like, WB has been feeding a lot of these, like, trades. So, for example, in the last week, randomly, the Hollywood Reporter had this exclusive, which is Tom Cruise loves The Flash.
Mm-hmm. No, okay,
like, yeah. They're hyping it up. This movie's being hyped up from, like, mm-hmm. David Zaslav, James Gunn, Tom Cruise, of all people. So, and they obviously, they even kept Ezra along for the ride because how much faith they have in the movie. So I want to see what the hubbub is about.
So, that's just weird. But I'm also just curious about, like, what's it going to do in the box office, and if it's successful, the heck are they going to do with Ezra Miller? Because they're saying that they're going to back him up.
Well, right now, we haven't had a single successful comic book film this year as far as box office is concerned. We've had two. We haven't had a single successful one. And we've had three bombs in a row.
Well, the only one...
We had three bombs in a row.
Well, the only one that was...
Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. The one pretty successful one was No Way Home. But that was only because I had two of the Spider-Man that we've seen before. And so this one's doing Batman.
It underperformed. Might
bring in a lot of people. I don't think...
Look, here's the thing. Right now, within the last 4 or 5 months, we've had three massive bombs from a comic book standpoint. We've had Shazam. We've had Ant-Man. And we've had Black Adam. We'll see how this all goes. But was there anything else you wanted to get to before we left today? How did that go?
I loved it. it was hilarious, honestly, the whole time. I loved every single character. And it's just, I find it really interesting that the whole story is just about this artist who wanted to get revenge on people that, like, ruined his love for cooking. Or you can say, like, his love for a certain art, you can say. And so it's just an interesting look, especially for people who kind of, like, do the things that we do. talk about movies and all that. Because it doesn't just have to be specifically about cooking. Like, you can't say this for many other art forms and all that. And so, yeah, it was a interesting one. I showed it to my dad, and at the end of it, he's just like, you show me some weird movies, you know that? It was funny.
Yeah, it was definitely a vibe all its own, for sure. Any others?
Mm-hmm. 65.
Oh, yes. I had meant to see it. I didn't get around to it. How was it? I heard it was pretty okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's the most... I said this, like, this is the most basic storytelling story I've ever seen. But, you know, I like Adam Driver. The concept, I found it interesting. So... if you enjoyed the concept, if you like Adam Driver, you might enjoy this movie. But yeah, it was fine.
Well, anyway, we're gonna go ahead and end it off there. Thank you, David, for, you know, taking some time out of your day and talking Pokemon. And we'll see if we get a chance to discuss any more of this in the future. Thank you all for listening. You can catch our podcasts anywhere you listen to podcasts every single Sunday. Stay under our spotlight for more content and more. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.